Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you for this day that you've given to us, Lord, and Lord, just what you've laid on my heart and the confirmation of it, God, and Lord, we just want to lay everything in your hands right from the start, even from the prayer room, God. We began praying, Lord, even through Sunday school time, Lord, just praying and seeking your will, God, and Lord, I just pray that I myself be obedient, Lord, everyone here, be obedient, God, to what you're calling them, leading them to do. God, I just thank you for how you deal with our hearts. And Lord, I just know the gravity of what is taking place, Lord, as we head on closer and closer to eternity. Don't ever want to lose sight of that, God, and just never lose interest of that, Lord. God, I just pray you help us here this morning. Lead us and guide us, God, my heart, my mind, my mouth, Lord, let me say everything you'd have me to, Lord, the way you'd have me to, and just guide our hearts. Our hearts here this morning, each one, Lord, help them to stay focused, God, listen, pay attention, and hear, God, what you would have, what you have to say here this morning. Guide us, Lord, and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Does anybody have anything on their heart this morning before we get started? Anybody at all? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? I know what the Lord's laid on my heart. I just want to make sure you do what the Lord's laid on your heart this morning. How about it?
Brother, we just come to worship him in spirit and truth.
Amen. 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 The Lord never ceases to amaze me, just to be honest with you. I had a message on my heart early this past week, I guess you say a message or a title, had it on my heart early this week, and it just kind of continued throughout the week. And I studied on that early yesterday and had everything laid out. And then also thinking about Palm Sunday and thinking about Easter coming up, I had another message that I studied out, so I've got two. Talked to Brother Daniel this morning. He said, "Brother, go ahead and preach them both." And we could probably try to do that, but I know we'd get hungry. But it's amazing. I'm telling you, the gravity of it, the seriousness of it, as I came this morning, the other message that I might allude to is not the one that I would be preaching. That was the number two message. I was going to let you vote. I was just going to hold up a one and a two, let you vote, and then go from there. But as Brother Tim was reading before Sunday school, nailed it down even much further. And as Brother Raymond was teaching, many of the things he said alluded to this. And I said, "Lord, if that's the one that you want, if that's the one you wanted all along, we'll go with that." And about that time, my hand started freezing. Now, the Lord has given that to me as, I don't necessarily say as a sign, but when that happens to me, I know he's wanting to do something. I've never seen it not be that way. When I first started preaching, Brandy will tell you, when I would sit beside her, I'd say, "My hands are freezing, feel my hands. I need a witness." Okay. There's times when I come in and I'm confident of what I'm going to do, my hands are just as warm as they can be. But when I get confident in myself, my hands freeze to death. My feet are cold. I'm not going to ask you to do that. My feet are cold this morning. I'm like, "Lord, you're sucking it right out of me. I mean, what is this?" And he's like, just trust me. Just trust me. That's all we're trying to do this morning. That's why I open it up to give opportunity to whoever may have something on their heart. I know I don't always have it together. I know that. And I don't pretend to. And I don't pretend to be. But I know when the Lord is up to something. And there's something I heard this morning, or earlier this week. If you will, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Kind of probably stay there most of the time. May allude to some Palm Sunday. I studied a whole lot on that this morning. Had studied that in the past. I know that's a favorite of Miss Jan. Had her on my heart this morning thinking about that and studying the importance of Palm Sunday and the importance of what that starts off for this week. As I studied that, it caused my heart to get closer even to the message that I had been studying on before. 2 Corinthians, and I'm just going to look at the first part there here in just a minute. I want to give you a little introduction, I guess. I think that's important. I think it's important for you to kind of follow along with my mindset, and then we get into where the Lord leads as far as the message and what it says. But earlier on in the week, it's amazing how things happen. Earlier on in the week, I was talking to somebody, and we're talking about church and just going to church and what have you, and somebody making the comment that they had just lost interest. That's scary to me. That's a very scary thing. And it's like I start examining myself. I think about myself as a preacher. I would not want to be the cause of somebody losing interest. Brother Raymond, you brought this out in Sunday school also, not wanting to be a stumbling block or be in the way of somebody or somebody not being saved or not getting help. So I think about that a whole lot. I don't ever want to have anything in me that creates a stumbling block or causes a problem for somebody else. That concerns me. And I think about why would somebody lose interest in the house of God or the things of God? And I tell you, my heart is the purest intent this morning. It's not a judgmental heart, but it's an open heart. It's what the Lord has laid on my heart. I had lunch with a preacher friend this week, and lo and behold, we're sitting there eating lunch, and he said, "Brother, people have just lost interest." That's number two. And I'm like, that's the second time I've heard that in just a few hours. I thought, how sad that is, how interesting that is. I got to looking at the definition. I always like to look up definitions. But it says here that the definition of interest, and those that keep up with money maybe or finances might have a good understanding of this, but it means to have a share. It means to engage. It means to have concern. Now we know and understand that the church is going to fall away, not the world. The world can't fall away from something that it was never engaged with to begin with, right? But it's the church. Talk about that man of sin that will come after, but it won't happen until that great falling away happened first. Well, that scares me. That makes me sad. How many of you are close to retirement? A lot of people here are already retired, ain't they? Okay, you'll still get the analogy out of this. As you get closer, if you have 401ks or your state retirement, when you put that money in the bank or the state does that for you, what does it gain? What do you hope it gains? Interest. Isn't that good? Because the closer you get to the idea of using that or needing that, you want to gain more interest. You take more interest in that. It's more important to you at that time maybe than even right now. Would that not be true? Do you put money in the bank today with the hope that when you go to draw it out, that's all you have to draw out? You don't lose anything, I'll say that. But don't you want it to gain? The closer you get to the point that you want to use it, don't you want it to gain? See, that's what interests me in thinking about the falling away. I try and I think about my life, Lord, please don't let me fall. But I think about it this way. The closer we get to His return, our interest should be more and more, higher and higher. Because we're going to desire it or use it more. That's when our faith will end in sight, right? That's when we're cashing in what the Lord has already paid the earnest on. He's our earnest. Did you know that? You go to put down money on a house. How much you want to put down is the first question they ask you. Because they want to know how serious you are. Are we going to save this house for you? Or are we going to let the next person come along and buy it out from underneath you? No, I want it. So I put this earnest money down. You think about our inheritance in heaven. Jesus Christ is our earnest money. He's our earnest. He put His life down for us. Well, that's a surety. That's another financial word. Christ is the only surety that we have. There's no other. There's nothing else. We can't be assured in ourselves. But as I was looking at this and thinking about it, and I'm one too, I thought about it. I was like, Lord, well, maybe I'm not entertaining enough. Lord, maybe I'm not loud enough. Maybe I'm not much of a cheerleader as much as a cheerleader as it should be. But you know, I don't think preachers are supposed to be up here to be entertainers. Do you? Oh, I don't think that's what that's about. Not if you're going to stay in the house of God and what God would have us to do. Entertainers will do things to get reactions. That's not what it's about. It's about leading people to Christ. It's about staying with His Word. It's not thinking about up new ideas and doing new things. It's about staying with God's Word, leading people to Him. Now, how could we lose interest in that if we truly have a burden for our lost people? How could we lose interest in that? Hope through the course of the message, the Lord will lay things on your heart that will help you. And I see Paul here, he wasn't without issues in his life. He had problems, he had things that he had to deal with, and the Lord helped him. The Lord had a purpose for the hardships that he had in his life. You know, Paul, he could have been, he's very zealous. You remember how he was when he was Saul. We would have counted him a great enemy at that time, enemy of the church. But then when he came onto this side, when he came to our side, if you don't want to say it that way, he became a great strength. In sports, I thought a lot about sports, a lot of that going on. Right now, I think people are engaged in that right now. But you think about that one player on that team that you don't like to play or don't want to play because they're so good. You don't like them. But if they decide to come play for your team, they're not so bad after all. They're one of us. You can help us. You're an asset now. See, that's the way Paul was. He was against the church, but then he became an asset. One that God used. But it didn't come without a price. See, Paul, he just wasn't turned loose to do whatever he wanted to do. It says here, 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. I'm going to get a drink of water here. I like the way Paul, he sees how the Lord has put himself in place, and he gives the Lord credit, and he gives the reason why. He said, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body. I believe Paul's talking about himself. He's talking about experience that he had, an out-of-body experience. Very interesting. He said, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up into the third heaven. He got to experience something people just don't get to experience. He got caught up to where God was at. He got to see something with his spiritual or physical eyes even at this point. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Again, God knoweth. He gives God the credit for it. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Of such an one will I glory. Again, just in God, yet of myself will I not glory. He took none of the credit. But in mine infirmities. Infirmities is weakness. Remember that as we go through this context here. He identified with his weaknesses. It's important that we do that. The world will tell you, if you really slow down and think about it, the world will just tell you, you just need to dig a little bit deeper, be a little bit more stubborn, is what the world will tell you. But if you really look at what the Word of God says, it never tells you to dig deeper and try harder. It says put it all in Him. It says put it all in Jesus Christ. The Word of God will not lie to you and tell you that you can do things that you cannot do. But it will show you what can be accomplished if you go through Jesus Christ. That's the truth of it. I want us to see that. Paul, I think he sees this here, but he had infirmities. He had weaknesses. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Now look what he says here in verse number 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure. That is one thing that your flesh and my flesh wants constantly. To be exalted. To be lifted up. Be the one. Well, boy, we can't carry on without you. We can't this without you, without you, without you, that lifting up. Remember what was said in Sunday school and what was brought out there about pride. See, that's what got the devil in the shape he was in. He saw the glory of God and he wanted it for himself. He stopped saying, through Christ, through God, and he started seeing it and trying to see it through self. See, the Lord right here is teaching Paul, or put something on Paul to show him that it was not through self, and lest I should be exalted above measure. Through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Through all those good things that God gave me, he allowed me to see in the third heaven that man usually don't get to do, God also gave him a thorn in the flesh. God gave him something to pull him back down to earth, if you will, to remind him who that he was, what he was made of. He was human just like the rest of us. There was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me again, lest I should be exalted above measure. Being humbled is not fun. I think that's why the Bible teaches us if we will humble ourselves, God will exalt us in due time. It's easier if we will humble ourselves versus somebody else doing it for us. Because when somebody else does it for you, they might not do it the way you would. It's easier to abase yourself, to say, hey, wait a minute, who did I think I was anyway? It's all God and it's all his goodness, it's all his grace. It's all his mercy that we have anything that we have, that we don't puff up anything within ourselves. And he goes on to say here, above measure, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He wanted the Lord to take it away. Lord, take this away. Let's just do this without this being a problem. I don't want to be held back with this. It's a stumbling block. Let's just get this out of the way so I can do this by myself. You know, part of the messages, part of the letters that was written by Paul, he didn't even write physically himself because he couldn't see well enough to do it. That's believed to be maybe the thing that he was talking about here. I've studied and a little bit about Paul and heard that he probably wasn't too much of a good-looking fella. Couldn't see good, just not much about him that was really desirable of somebody else. But you see today, the people who try to portray that, that's what they're about on TV. I've been watching some of this evangelist stuff on TV, and that's a mess, you know that? Me. Give to me and God will bless you. It's a mess. That's not what the gospel is. It's just not what the gospel is. Be careful listening to that mess on TV. That's not the message. But thinking about this, why are you saying, preacher, how does this tie into losing interest? How could we lose interest in God? How could we honestly and truly lose interest in the things of God? Because look what you have right here. I want us to see this verse, verse number 9, and what it says. This was God's answer to Paul. Jesus' answer to Paul when he asked for these things to be removed from his life. Those weaknesses. Those things that would cause him maybe to be to use an excuse to lose interest. I would this, if not this. People do that a lot. Boy, if I just had these things, or if I was set up this way, then I could this. The Lord wants you to do what he wants you to do right now with what you are, how you are. Do you know that? He'll work it through you. He does the work through you. You and I don't get to decide. That's the Lord. This was the Lord's response to Paul, and he said unto me, and this is red letters, take note of that. I thought that was a blessing. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, I know that is common, very common scripture, and Paul goes on to say here, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He was all right doing what he needed to do through the Lord. That's how spiritual people get things done. They do it through the Lord. Now, people in the flesh try to do it themselves, and they get very frustrated. I want to look at some of these words here. It's talking about grace. How God's grace is sufficient for thee. Grace, that means favor, goodwill, kindness, free and merited love and favor. I just tell you, when I think about how good God has been to me, I don't lose interest in that. That's something that excites me. The closer I get to the finish line, the more I get excited about seeing him. And I want to be in good standing when I get closer to that line. I don't want to lose sight of that. I mean, how sad would it be to be that close and then somewhat give up or fall out? I'm not talking about losing salvation, but you could fall out, not be in the fight, and then the Lord come. How sad would that be, knowing that you were that close? Think about that often.
There's times that it gets heavy, it gets hard to say, preacher, you're not doing anything. You know how many times I go home at the end of a Sunday or Wednesday night and say, you didn't do a thing? You didn't get nothing accomplished. They've heard all that before. Same thing's going to be next week. I'm not trying to get you worked up. I'm not. I think sometimes people come and maybe not realize we might be more of a quiet church. I know there's a lot more going on in here than comes out here. I know that. And I want you to know that. That I know that. But if you'll notice, sometimes people try to get what is going to get them to say amen. I've been in those services. And you'll see it. It's almost like a menu. They'll say they'll get on this, they'll get on this, they'll get on that. When somebody says amen, they'll stay on that. Well, sometimes the stuff you need to hear is not amening stuff. You don't say amen when you take medicine sometimes. It's not good. Sometimes you need to have it on the inside. Meditate on it. And I get that. I understand that. That's how it is with me. When the Lord works with me, I'm not just shouting and up and up. It's a lot of times I'm taking it on the inside.
And I think a lot about God's grace, His kindness, how good He's been to me. How could I lose sight of that? Thinking about this Palm Sunday, I'll get to bring this in a little bit. Thinking about what He did as He was coming into Jerusalem. As He was coming in, He knew what was going to take place. You see, they had followed Him. The disciples had followed Him, and they saw the many things that He had done, and they continued following Him, and they were leading Him in, just like Zechariah said it would, 9:9, about the triumphal entrance. How they're going to bring Him in, and how He came in on the foal of an ass, and how He came all the way through, and they were worshiping Him as King, King of Peace. I did read and see how He, and when He came in, or came in on a donkey, how that was a peaceful animal, and how He came in peace. That's how it was. His first coming was in peace to this country, or to this earth. So He could show us that He was here for us. You know, that draws me closer to Him. Then I think about what He went through that week. He knew what was going to happen. It's one thing if a person didn't know what was going to happen, but He knew. You think about that time. You think about from His birth as He was growing up, as He spent time with His family, as He experienced things as a child, and as He grew up, His days were getting closer and closer, and He knew it. But He decided to do it anyway. He stayed the mission. He didn't get out of focus. He stayed and He done it. When I think about that, I see His grace. When I think about Him going to the cross for me and dying for my sins so I wouldn't have to, I think about His grace. Because it wasn't needed. It was needed, but it wasn't deserved. I wasn't deserving of that. We could think we would be, but we're not. The Lord said unto him again, my grace is sufficient for thee. His grace, His kindness, it's sufficient. That means it's enough. You look here, sufficient, that means enough, equal to the end proposed. It's enough all the way to the end. You know, when Jesus went to the cross, died on the cross, He finished what He was supposed to do. Amen? Now, is it unfair of Him to ask the same thing of you and I, that we finished what He set out to start in us? Until we go to heaven, till He comes back to get us, or we pass? This is one verse, 2 Timothy 1:12, that the Lord had laid on my heart when He was dealing with me about preaching. Lord, I'll mess this up. I don't know that I have the endurance. Lord, am I going to keep interest? Lord, how do I know? How do I know? I don't know how this is going to end, Lord. How's this going to end? What's this going to look like 10, 15, 20 years down the road? That's what people want to know. What's it going to look like down the road? This is the verse that He gave me. It says, for the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. He suffered the things that He did for the gospel, but Paul was not ashamed. This world will try to shame you for what you believe in. It'll try to make it out like what this Bible teaches isn't right, that they're right and you're wrong. Try to make things out that things in the Bible is hate. The Bible doesn't teach hate, but it does teach right and wrong. And if God says something is wrong, I'm okay to say it's wrong. Amen. That's just how it is. He's the Creator. But he also said here, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
You see, what does that do? Did that say, did Paul say, just dig a little bit deeper, Timothy, and it'll be okay? He said, no, Timothy, I know whom I believe, and I am persuaded he is able to keep it until that day. He. See, that kind of takes the pressure off. We try to keep the pressure on.
Committed, that means delivered in trust. When we deliver and trust something to him, he's going to keep it till that day.
And I remember I was out mowing the yard. And I said, Lord, I'm going to commit it unto you. You'll have to do it. If I mess up, it's on me. But Lord, please keep that which I have committed until that day. And I don't know when that day is. I don't know where my finish line's at. It could be this week. I could be in glory before the end of the day. I don't know. You don't know. But that right there should be enough to help you not to lose interest. The closer we get,
the further we go along, he's saying my grace is sufficient. He's saying my grace is enough for my strength, my power, my support, his physical active power, his ability to sustain attacks, his ability to ward things off.
Philippians 4:13, I read this Wednesday night. You know it. You probably know it by heart.
People use it. Again, a lot of this is sports-related analogies that people have tried to make it into sports, but this is actually talking about missionary work. If you go back and read the context of Philippians 4, it says, I can do all things. And it doesn't just stop there. It says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Again, that doesn't say dig a little bit deeper. It said, I can do all things through Christ. Hey, that's simple. I ain't telling you nothing you don't know, right? But you have to go through him is what he's saying. Not you yourself. You have to go through somebody. That means you have to stay in touch with somebody. That means you have to stay close to him. That you cannot lose interest in him. He's the one that's going to get you through. If you want to do all things, it will have to be through him. I don't think I know anybody that wants to give up or quit.
Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, he makes a statement here. Jeremiah 23:13, it says, and ye shall seek me. He's talking to the nation of Israel.
When he is crying against Israel for all that they were going on, that they were going through, and you think about the captivity that they were getting ready to go into. That's a heartbreaking thing. See, when you think about this here, when Jesus was climbing up to riding the donkey up to Jerusalem, you see this here on Palm Sunday. That was one of the things he went part of the way up. You see John 12:35, Jesus wept. That's where that verse comes from. Because he knew what was going to happen to Jerusalem. They didn't. Remember how the disciples were like, this is great. We're getting ready to be heirs. I mean, the kingdom is ours. We're getting ready to rule and reign. This is wonderful. They were so excited. Jesus stops halfway up and starts crying. Remember what he told them? Not one stone will be returned or will not be unturned of this temple. He knew that. He's talking about the captivity that was to come, the destruction that was to come through the Romans in around 70 AD. That's what he was talking about. But you go back even before the Babylonian captivity, Jeremiah said this. He said, and ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. So that was something I think you said, Brother Raymond, a little while ago. All your heart, all thine heart, Brother Tim. And it says, ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Search is a little bit more than looking. If you can kind of just glance over something and say, hey, yeah, I see what I see. But searching means that you're slowly and you're methodically looking for something. That means for the purpose of finding. When you search out God, you search him out for the purpose of finding something. Finding direction, finding the right answers. Find myself in that condition most often, all the time. Lord, what do you want? Search me. Search me. If you wanted to have a relationship with somebody that was not interested in you, what would you do? Would you try to do something that would cause them to kind of look your way and maybe be more interested in you? Do something to get their attention? See, that's what the Lord does, I believe, in our lives all the time. And we don't see it that way. We think it's something bad happening. The Lord just said, hey, I just want to talk to you. Search me out, but you won't search me until something bad happens. Until I get your attention. That's what happens most often. Losing interest. Losing interest, remember?
He wants us to be interested in what he's doing. He wants us to have a share. He has already given us a share. We are joint heirs with Christ. You ever think about it like that?
That interests me.
But again, all your heart. I want us to stay on that for just a minute. All your heart. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You all know it by heart. Trust, the first word in the verse there says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The first word is trust.
That's the biggie. That's the biggie in every single thing you and I do. Did you know that? Relationships that you have today, if you don't trust a person, how close do you stay to them? Honestly, think about it. Think about what you deal with in the workplace, the school place, the community place, life, people that may have hurt you, people that have given you a reason not to trust them, what you do with them. I'll tell you what I do. I'll be honest. I keep them out here, Brother Bill, where I can see them. I just do. I'm not being mean. I'm sure if some people don't trust me, they're doing the same thing with me. If they're smart, they would. Let's just be honest. That we don't trust, we have an idea that we kind of put out a little bit further so we can kind of keep an eye on it. So it's not, we don't get blindsided by something. That's what I would do. That's pretty common. It's pretty easy to understand. You keep it out there so you can see what they're doing at all times. So they don't get too close. So they don't hear your secrets. They don't know what you're talking about. So they can't come in and hurt you again. This is very important right here. I don't want anybody here to miss this. I don't want anybody to miss this. People can and will hurt you. Did you know that? Everybody here will say amen to that. They will. I have been hurt by people, either intentionally or unintentionally. People will hurt you. And when a person hurts you, Brother Norman, you have a tendency to say, mark this one. That causes division, and you're just like, you kind of get back off them a little bit. You don't just let them run in on you because it hurts. Does it not? Amen. Amen. Now, this is what happens, though, if we're not careful. That person that hurts you, you will let them keep you away from what Christ has for you. Did you know that? Because what happens, I don't know why this happens, church. I don't know why. I don't know how, unless it's just the devil, but what happens when this takes place, when somebody hurts you, for some reason you think it was the Lord that hurt you. Do you know that? Why did the Lord let that happen? Why did God allow that to happen? See, when you're dealing with people, every single one of us in here has what is called free choice. That's a big responsibility. We've talked a lot about that. But that free choice is on that person. That's not on Jesus Christ. That's something we're all built in to have. It's built into us to have. I can make a wonderful decision today and make a very bad decision tomorrow. But Brother Ben, is that God's fault? If I didn't seek him, if I didn't follow him, if I didn't seek out what he said in his word and I didn't trust him and do what he told me to do, that's a bad decision. And that is not his fault. I want to say this. Do not let people dictate the relationship you have with God. Really think about that. That's an easy thing to do. I've been hurt by people. I think, Lord, why did you let that happen? He reminded me when I read these verses, he said, wait, that wasn't me. Remember all those bad decisions that you made, Jason? Yeah, that affected other people. I didn't make that decision, you did. Now, a person can try to make that right. That's the thing to do. If you've done wrong, make it right. If we're not careful, we'll hold God responsible for what somebody else did. That's not fair, is it? I don't like being held accountable for what somebody else did. That's what we do to God. Why don't we trust people? Because people hurt us. People lie to us. People do things to us that hurt us. I want to ask you a question. Has Jesus ever hurt you? Now, I mean, honestly, hey, search it out. I'm not just telling you to say one way or the other. I want you to search God out yourself and say, has God ever hurt me? Has Jesus ever hurt me? He never has me. I thought about that as I studied this. Lord, well, what about this or what about that? But it wasn't him. God has never hurt anybody. That's not him. He created you and me with a mind, with a choice to make, with decision capabilities. That's how he created us. If we make a bad decision, I'm sorry, friends, that's on us. That's not on him. See, that's how he gets the worship he deserves when we choose him. When you see that, so now let's go back to that word trust. Has he ever given you a reason not to trust him? See, that's the difference. Some people say, hey, I've lost interest because I've been hurt too much. Well, it wasn't God. It wasn't God. It was choices and decisions that people made. And we affect each other. The decisions you and I make affect this church. I think about that constantly. It's been said, pastors, preachers, they live in glass houses. We do. I don't want to ever do anything to be a stumbling block or hurt our church. But you think about the power of Christ and who he is. How can we ever lose interest in him? Again, it says, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. That means I want to stay as close to him as I absolutely can. Because I'm weak. I mess up every day. Don't put that on Facebook, Brandy. Don't tell the world. Don't tell nobody else that. Keep it in here. I do. And guess what? The Lord knows that. He knew that going into this. He knew that, Miss Jan, when he created me. I'm going to create him with a choice. And guess what? He's not going to be perfect. And he knew that. He created me anyway. Did the same with you. See, that's the beauty of this. You go back, you think about our conference. You think about how the Lord works and what he does. Why did he choose Israel? Because they're the biggest, greatest nation in the world? Because you're the fewest. You're the smallest. You're the weakest. You're the littlest. Why did Paul have his infirmities? Why do you and me? Why do we have infirmities? Because God keeps us grounded and remember and reminded who we are. And who he is. I get excited. I'm telling you, my interest level is like this. Every day, church, as things happen, as things go, my interest level goes up. Again, he says that my strength is made perfect in weakness. Jesus is most prominent. The Lord is most prominent when we are at our weakest. Isn't that amazing? You should glory in that. I find myself pretty weak a lot of times when things don't go the way that I think they're going to go. I get staggered and I get hurt and I have to have some alone time. I do. I'm a big baby sometimes. I mean, Brandy will tell you. I hope she won't, but she would probably. I mean, there's times, Brother Terry, I just need to hurt. I just need to get out in the field, get out in the woods and just hurt sometimes. It's like the old mashing thumb. I told you about that, didn't I? Mash your thumb and it just hurts. I got to the point now, I said, Brandy, she's the kind, she wants to come in, she means well. It's okay, it's going to be okay. And I was like, I don't want to hear that. Just let me hurt. That's just how it is sometimes. I've told her, that's what I say now when it's a big enough thing that's affected me in my life. I tell Brandy, just let me hurt. This is going to take time. That throbbing, that hurt, that blood blister, is going to take time for that to go away. But you know what, after time? And after God's grace, the pain can go away. You can get kind of back to normal again. See, that's the weakness that we go through. It doesn't mean that we can't be angry and sin not. There's things that's going to bother us. There's things that bothers me. But the Lord has built in for that.
Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, you know what? I'm fine. I'm come to terms, Brother Darren, that I'm a weak person and I'm going to need him. And I know that, but you know what? I am fine because I'm just going to let his power rest on me. Now that's good. You think about the power of Christ who spoke, God who spoke creation into existence. That's the power that can rest on your life. I need it. I need more of it. That's amazing to me. You say, well, what if I lose that? Hebrews 13:5, it says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. 1 Corinthians 1:25, it says, the weakness of God is stronger than men. It's hard to think that there's any weakness of God. Brother Tony, I thought on that just a little bit. What would be the weakness of God? When was God ever at his weakest point? When he sent Jesus Christ to save this world. How could you lose interest in that? A creator that loved us enough to become like us so he could save us. That's interesting to me. Sometimes my patience is just not that strong. I would wipe it out and I'd go with the 2.0. I'd go with the 3.0. I'd go with something else. How important it is, how wonderful it is that the power of Christ can rest upon you and I. Verse number 10, I'll close with this, is therefore I will take pleasure in infirmities. He said he'd take pleasure in his weaknesses. Those things he don't know. Look what he lists off here. Therefore I will take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, not just the stuff we put on ourselves. Remember who we're working for. That's another thing. I want you to remember who you're working for, who you're living for, who you've committed to. That's Jesus Christ. If you're saved, that's who you've committed to. Don't forget that. You think about running this race and continuing this race and the potential of losing interest. Don't forget who you're working for, who you're in this for. For Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Isn't that something? That's almost just like that was written for me. It's like Paul said, Jason is going to need that one day. I'm going to write that down for him. You know, the Bible's personal. He wrote that down for you. The good days, the bad days, the easy days. But I want you to see and understand, this comes to life when we don't lose interest in it, but we take it to heart and we apply it. I think we all understand people will hurt us, but we cannot let somebody else dictate what we do for the Lord. You got to stand there for him. That's what Paul is saying. Look where he was at. A lot of the times when he was writing these things, he was in prison. Look at the condition he was in. And you know what he said to that? I found whatever condition I'm in to be content. It's almost, I'm not giving this to Paul because he doesn't give it to himself, but it's almost like he had an answer for everything, isn't it? And it's hard. There's times, I'll be honest with you, there's times I don't want to have an answer. I'm just let me hurt. But God's bigger than that. God's plan, God's purpose is bigger than that. We got to see it all the way through. Our testimony is more important than that. We don't lose sight of it. We don't lose heart. We don't lose interest. Again, think about that. Interest, that means to have a share. Paul, I'm closing with this. When Paul went up to the third heaven, he saw what his share was. If you remember, that's what he was talking about just prior to all this. He's like, you know what? Yes, this hurts. Yes, this is a hard situation and a hard time to be in, but you know what? I've seen what's over there, and guess what? It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. If you will stand with me this morning, every head bowed, every eyes closed, ask the ladies if they will to come. We'll have a time of invitation.